The animal sacrifices was the substitute for our sins, pointing to Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus came, John said, "Behold, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." You see, the promised seed came. It was manifested in Jesus Christ. And when he went to the cross and he died for you and I, woo! That's why he said, "It is finished. No more needs to be done. The price has been paid. My blood has been shed for you. You don't need animal sacrifices anymore. You just confess your sins and God will forgive you of all of your sins."
Who opened your prison doors?
God.
Who dried up your ocean floor?
Aloha, and welcome to God's Amazing Grace with Pastor Kaleo Searle from Calvary Chapel Leeward Coast, located in Waianae on the island of Oahu, where the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit is bringing salvation to the lost and discipling the saved. Now, let's study the Word of God.
Who came in the nick of time?
When Peter saw the truth of who Jesus was in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, what did Peter tell Jesus? He said, "Depart from me." He said, "Because I'm a sinful man." You see, Peter saw the light, the truth of who Jesus really is, his holiness and his righteousness. And Peter couldn't even stand to be in the light of his presence because of the sin that was in his life. How do we get to the point where our heart is so calloused, living in sin, that we don't even understand and feel the preciousness and holiness of his light? Isaiah the prophet, in Isaiah 6, he's brought before the presence of God Almighty, and he sees the throne of God. And the only thing that he can say is, "Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. I am a sinner." Why? Because he was in the presence of God Almighty. His righteousness and his holiness. Yeah, I have fellowship with God. Do you? Do you really understand what that means? Do I? That's what John is talking about. God is light. He is in the light. He is consumed in his own righteousness and glory. And when you and I walk in fellowship with him, this is what we're saturated in. No darkness can exist in this fellowship. This continual darkness, it can't. It cannot. And it is here that you and I have true fellowship with one another. I love that it says that. Amos 3:3. It tells us, can two walk together unless they are agreed? You know, I praise and thank God for you guys, because my wife and I, we have fellowship with you. Why? Because you guys love my Jesus. And if you love my Jesus, Brad, we all in the same love bus. We all go in the same place. And we lock arms. Nobody gets left behind. You fall down, I won't pick you up. I know my knee is bust right now, so I would have Rob carry you, or Jay, one of these strong men. But that's who we are. Do you understand that? And we fellowship with one another. In the second half of verse 7, and we'll close here, John explains how this walking in the light, this fellowship is possible. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, who cleanses us from all sin. This word blood literally means blood in the Greek. It's the word chaima. And I was going to go right past this, and I was going to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ and go into verse 8, 9, and 10 as I was preparing for the teaching. And then a beautiful voice said, talk and teach about that. You see, what does this mean to a new believer, right? Or to someone that's hearing this for the first time, this may sound weird and confusing. What are you talking about, the blood of Jesus? Like, what does that mean? This is referencing the death of Jesus Christ. You see, when he was taken, when he was beaten, when he was whipped, when he was nailed to a cross, when they pierced his side with a spear. This is the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came into this world to shed his blood and to die for your sins and for my sins. And he did that on the cross 2,000 years ago. Outside Jerusalem. And there's significance in that as well. If you read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, you understand that. John chapter 19, verses 16 through 20 also brings this to light. You see, Jesus came to be the sacrifice. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist is at the Jordan River and he's baptizing. Jesus comes with his disciples. And what does John the Baptist say? As soon as he sees my Jesus, you guys remember, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Out of all the things he could have said, he says that. Why? He didn't say, all right, bro, get your sword, get your shield, because the kingdom is established. We're going to fight and dominate right now. He says, the lamb, the sacrifice. And there's so much significance in that. And so why did this shedding of blood, this sacrifice of Jesus have to happen? Well, I'm glad you asked. Great question, youth. That's why you're here. In the Old Testament, God gave his law to the Israelites and the ministry to the Levitical priesthood. In Leviticus chapter 17, it speaks of the blood of animals, the sacrifices that were to be made unto the Lord. This is explained, and you can read it on your own, but basically, the Lord is telling them that when you sacrifice an animal, you do it outside or inside, wherever you do it, and stop doing it. He says, you come and you bring that sacrifice to the tabernacle. You bring that sacrifice to me. Why? Because the blood is the life and it is precious. And in verse 15 of Leviticus chapter 17, let's back up. Verse 11. Let's go to verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Now jump down to verse 14, please. It says, for it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. You see, in the sacrifices of the animals, which was established by God's law, you had the sin sacrifice, you had the trespass offering, you had the burnt offering, you also had the peace offering, then you had the offering that is usually with restitution. And you can read all of those in chapters 1-7 of Leviticus. But we need to understand this foundation, because now comes the act of the sacrifice itself. God addressed the blood and how precious it is and the life that it represents. Now the sacrifice of it, in Leviticus chapter 16, we have the example, the Day of Atonement, where Aaron, the high priest, he came in to the Holy of Holies once a year. That was it. And he brought the blood of the goat. You see, he would take two goats. And what it was he would bring in the sins of all the Israelites so that they would be covered by God, meaning that they would be forgiven of the sins that they committed. And he did this once a year for the whole nation of Israel. And so he would bring two goats, and one he would sacrifice and bring the blood of that goat into the Holy of Holies. And he would sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat where God resided. The blood, that precious blood, to atone for the sins of the Israelites. The other goat, he would put his hand on top and he would confess the trespass, the sins, the iniquities of the Israelites. And then they would send that goat out into the wilderness where there was nobody. That was called the scapegoat. That's why you hear that term this day. Oh, that's the scapegoat. It comes from the Bible. So we understand what's been established. Now hold on to that, because we're going to go back even further. Okay? Looking at this sacrifice, looking at the blood and what all of this points to, which is Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 3, we have the account of sin entering into this world, where Eve takes of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When God said, don't eat this fruit, she takes of it because Satan tempts her. Then she gives to her husband. Genesis 3 verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. You see, that's what sin does. It takes our eyes off of God and it puts it on ourselves. They saw themselves naked for the first time. In verse 21, because after this happened, God curses the serpent. Then he speaks to the woman. Then he speaks to Adam. And look at what happens. Verse 21 of Genesis 3. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. This is the first account in the Bible of an animal sacrifice. Think about that. As soon as sin entered the world, an animal sacrifice was done to cover the sin. That's the first account of this, which points to Jesus Christ. Which, oh, by the way, in verse 15 of Genesis 3, it speaks of the seed of the woman that will come and crush the head of the serpent. That's Jesus Christ. When he went to the cross and he died, he crushed the head of the serpent. The sacrificing of animals unto God continued. We read that with Abel. Genesis 4:4. We read it with Noah. Genesis 8:20. Even Abraham with Aaron. We just talked about that. Now, why am I explaining all of this? Because all of it points to Jesus Christ and his shed blood, because he is the sacrifice. He died for you and I, for our sins. That's the blood that John is writing about. The power of that blood. You see, that blood was shed for us, for you and I. Because the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23 says that. The animal sacrifices was the substitute for our sins, pointing to Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus came, John said what? Behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. You see, the promised seed came. It was manifested in Jesus Christ. And when he went to the cross and he died for you and I, woo! That's why he said, it is finished. No more needs to be done. The price has been paid. My blood has been shed for you. You don't need animal sacrifices anymore. You just confess your sins and God will forgive you of all of your sins. That's what this is talking about. That's what this is saying, and it's so beautiful. It's so amazing. Now, I'm going to throw out some scriptures to you, okay, for you note takers, that expounds on this even more. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 and 14. We're not going to read these. I'm just going to give them to you. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to 15. And then verse 25 to 28. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 through 14. Because all that I shared with you, these verses talk about. There's no more that needs to be done. Jesus paid it all. Now, I am going to read this in Hebrews chapter 10. Because yes, his blood, we are forgiven, we are cleansed by his blood. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, we read this. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Okay, I want to pause right there. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the fellowship with God ended. That's why they were kicked out of the garden. There was no longer fellowship. Darkness cannot be with light. And then comes Jesus, and he sheds his blood on the cross. He restored and reconciled you and I back into that fellowship with God the Father. That's what this is saying. That's why we don't need a priest. I know some of you have come from Roman Catholic churches. You don't confess your sins to a man. That's a man who's fallen, who's a sinner himself. Why are you telling him your sins? We go straight to the Father because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we say, Dad, forgive me. I messed up. And it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Praise the Lord. Man, that's good stuff. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is how you and I come into fellowship with God the Father. This is how you and I are in the light, knowing and understanding this. That's the only way. And it's because of Jesus Christ. His shed blood cleanses us from all sin. Sin, we talked about that word. It means to miss the mark. It's when you and I don't obey His word and we do what we want to do. That's what sin is. We've missed the mark that God has established for you and I. And we are cleansed from all of that. And please be mindful of that, because all means all. Satan is so good, the accuser of the brethren. You know what that means, accuser of the brethren? We're going to talk about that next Sunday. You see, when I come to Jesus and I say, please forgive me, and I'm true in my heart, I truly repent, and I say, Father, forgive me. My sins are forgiven. Done. Poof, gone. It's no longer there. And then I start to walk in the light. And then here's the accuser of the brethren going, oh, come on, Khalil. Who are you fooling? Bro, everybody know what you did. And the enemy is so good at that, to the point where it can suffocate you. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that that's a lie straight from hell. You have been washed in the blood of my Jesus. I have been washed in His blood. I am clean. Now, we need to walk in the light. Let go of that darkness that has no part in the fellowship. And you and I, we need to make that conscious choice every single day. And how do we do that? In God's word, on our faces, praying to the Lord, singing praise and worship songs while you're driving to work, instead of listening to that. Yeah, I see some of you. That's what it looks like. And it's coming from within your heart. You see, you're not talking. You're walking. Because why? It's in your heart. You understand the holiness of God. You understand the price that Jesus Christ paid. And it says deep in your heart, there's no way I'm ever doing that again. That's where He wants us to be. And when we get to that place, we do it together. Yeah. As a family of Christ. So good. God's word is so good. Amen.
Who opened your prison door?
You've been listening to God's Amazing Grace with Pastor Khalil Sorrell of Calvary Chapel, Leeward Coast. Mahalo for joining us as we study God's Word together. If you're on the Leeward Coast of Oahu, our fellowship meets Sunday mornings at 9:30 and Thursday nights at 7. Wake up and come on out. We are located at 87672 Farrington Highway in Ma'ili. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelleewardcoast.com. Aloha, ahui ho, maalama pono. Until next time, may you know God's amazing grace.
If you had water in the wilderness, if you ever been pulled up out the pit, if you made it through and it makes no sense, yeah, that's how you know it was Him. If you got a Savior who broke your chains, if you got a Maker who made a way,
prison doors.
Got it, got it.
Go dry up your ocean floor.